Well, as coronavirus cases rise and spread from the new hotspots, do we know exactly how many there are? Are we clear on how it's transmitted? And what about the suggestion that the onset of the northern summer might kill off the virus and bring this crisis to an end? A hint, probably not. I've been speaking with Dr. Mark Lipsitch. He's a professor of epidemiology at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health in Boston, Massachusetts, where he's also the director of the Center for Communicable Disease Dynamics.
Well, it's clearly very widespread, and I think most epidemiologists who are watching it carefully believe that the reported cases are only a small fraction of what's really transmitting around the world. There are limits on testing capacity. There are limitations in terms of being able to detect who's infected for all sorts of different reasons. And so I think, as we saw in the cases of Iran and Italy recently, what looks like no cases can very rapidly become many. And it's not that the situation changes so much as that our understanding changes when there are so many severe cases that you suddenly discover the extent of the problem, or at least part of it.
And what do we know about the virus itself? Are we clear, for example, on transmission methods?
It's very clear that it's person-to-person transmitted. It seems to transmit mainly by the respiratory route. The importance of so-called aerosol transmission, where the virus can stay in the air for a long period of time, is still under investigation. And there's some possibility that other bodily fluids or excretions like feces may be carrying live virus. It's clear that they carry virus. Whether the virus is infectious, as far as I know, is not yet clear.
In terms of treatments and the potential for a vaccine, still seems to be some way away. But in terms of treatments, what do we know works?
We know that supportive care and intensive care, ventilation, and the usual treatments for viral pneumonia are helpful. Except for influenza, we don't have antiviral drugs that specifically work against any respiratory virus. But the hope is that some of the antiviral drugs that have been developed for other purposes, for example, HIV drugs, might have some activity, but that is the subject of clinical trials. It's not known yet.
Is there a prospect that this virus might just disappear as the northern summer arrives?
It's very unlikely. There is pretty good evidence that transmission of coronaviruses, including the family, the lineage that's more closely related to this virus, does decline a little bit in the warmer weather, and maybe with the closure of schools. We're not sure what role that plays. But it doesn't look like it's going to be nearly enough to just make this disappear. Some people make an analogy to the SARS virus and say, well, it disappeared in the summer. It didn't disappear. It was driven to extinction by extremely intense interventions by public health. And it happened to be in the summer. But when they let up on those interventions before it was gone in Toronto, it came right back. It's not going to solve the problem.
Is there any way that you can project its trajectory? Is it set to get worse? Can you see the possibility of a peak and decline anytime soon?
I think that the challenge is going to be that China has demonstrated to the world that with very, very intense interventions to both intercept cases and isolate them, and also to reduce the number of contacts between people, it is possible to slow down and even reverse the trend of the epidemic. But the problem is that those interventions have effects only as long as they last. And they're very disruptive to people's lives and well-being. And so I think different countries will have different levels of ability to implement that kind of intervention and different tolerances for enduring it. But the problem is that until we have either a vaccine or people becoming immune through exposure to the virus, there's not a long-term solution. It will come back when the control measures are let up. It's a long-term problem.
On that question of people becoming immune, how long might it be until we see that immunity emerging?
Well, it will be a process. As people contract the virus, they recover, and we presume, based on other viral infections, that they will become immune, at least for a time. different coronaviruses have different durations of immunity, it seems. 2003 SARS looks like it was one of the most durable immunizers of people, but we'll just have to see whether this one creates long-term immunity or whether people are susceptible again after a few years. It seems likely that if they are, they won't be as sick based on other coronavirus data, but it's all speculation until that happens.
So we've seen, you know, different types of government respond in different ways to this sort of thing. What about in the United States? The president has been critical of some reporting of coronavirus. Does he have a case?
No, I think that media is doing its best to give an accurate description of what's going on, and that the well-known media outlets, the major newspapers and networks are doing a very careful job of that in a very difficult situation. In every administration that I've watched in my short politically aware life of 25 years or so, the administration has been very careful to use the facts. And if the person speaking doesn't know the facts, to get those facts from an expert. And in this administration, we had a cabinet secretary testifying in front of Congress, making up numbers that were 20-fold inaccurate about what the flu was like. So I think from Washington, we're seeing the anti-science side of the Trump presidency in full bloom in just a different area than we're used to.
Dr. Mark Lipsitch, thank you for speaking with us today.
Happy to do it. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Mark Lipsitch is an epidemiologist from the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health in Boston.